This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
David Swanson joins me live in studio. DavidSwanson.org is the website. We'll talk about the events unfolding in real time here. Everybody, if you're like me, you were just glued to your laptop or your TV today watching a revolution take place in Egypt, the largest mass-scale democratic protest in Egyptian history. Cairo is burning, and David Swanson joins me live in studio. I don't know about you, I was watching the Al Jazeera feed today because it was actually the best live feed. I couldn't find some of the stuff on the other supposed live news networks, but Al Jazeera had great placement of cameras, and the live feed was constantly coming in, and you know, folks like the BBC were just ripping off Al Jazeera.
Oh, absolutely. And Link TV has said they're going to play Al Jazeera for the next 3 days. So if you have Link TV through your satellite or cable, you can watch that. But you can also call your cable company and say, for God's sakes, get Al Jazeera English on here. When nobody else is covering a big chunk of the world, we need it. Or take your laptop and hook it up to a Blu-ray player and watch it you know, through your television that way.
And I should say, I was surprised because, you know, I was surprised at how much I wasn't getting editorial versus like watching Fox where you're you know, every few seconds you get some editorial about what you're watching. And they weren't doing that at all. They were just saying, let's just go back to the video stream. And often there would be times where they would say, hey, nobody say anything. Let's just listen and just watch what's happening. And then they would just put the camera out a window and look at what was going on in the streets in Cairo.
Oh, yeah. They jumped to Hillary Clinton's speech. They jumped to actually a friend of mine in New York commenting on how Egyptians are using the internet despite Egypt having shut off the internet yesterday. And they had commentary. They had Egyptians commenting on El Baradei's status and so forth. But for the most part, it was all very informative. There was nothing ideological, and there wasn't any spin of the sort we're so used to in U.S. television.
Yeah. David, what's your read on what's happening in Egypt as we speak at this very moment?
It's extremely encouraging. It's inspiring. Just as the Egyptians were inspired by Tunisia, other nations are now inspired by Egypt, and I certainly am, and many activists in this country are. But you know, how it comes out remains to be seen, and it certainly has not been a pure and ideal nonviolent action from the point of view of someone who advocates nonviolent action. It's been very much a mixture. I mean, it hasn't been. We discussed on this show once, I think, my debate with Ted Rall, who advocates, you know, shooting people. There was none of that. There was that these protesters didn't arm themselves, didn't go for assassinations, but they threw stones. They burned trash cans. They've now apparently burned buildings. And they have argued in discussions with other activists the need for some of those tactics, whereas I'm yet to be fully convinced. I've seen powerful images of nonviolent resistance by these Egyptians pushing the police back without throwing stones. And then I've seen images where they're quite pointlessly throwing stones that just makes for bad video and accomplishes nothing.
What's your read about? Let's talk about who these people are. It's my understanding that what we're seeing is a whole generation of people in Egypt who've been deprived of civil liberties now. Well, 1967, you have emergency law or martial law go into effect in Egypt, briefly lifted in the early 80s, but continuously now, since 1981, they've been under martial law in Egypt. So no civil liberties, very heavy-handed police presence in the country, no protests in the streets. Mubarak always reelected, and claims of massive corruption in the Mubarak regime. It's I don't want to go too far here, but it strikes me as something just very much about pure democracy. A whole generation that wants a democracy and not in just name only.
It was a long time coming. It was inspired by Tunisia. It was influenced by the release of information through WikiLeaks.
Explain that element, that factor there.
Well, as in Tunisia, I mean, people will say, oh, well, that's been brewing for a long time in Tunisia, and yet it got a spark from WikiLeaks releasing cables illustrating the incredible corruption of that government, and our own, by the way.
Yeah.
And similarly in Egypt. But the agenda there in Egypt is not really international. It's not anti-American. It's not anti-imperial. It's not religious. It's not Muslim extremist. It's the agenda of people, not from any particular generation, but across across the age and gender and income and ethnic divides in Egypt, Christians and Muslims together in this thing, young people, secular leaders more than the Muslims pushing this, and women in the streets with men in an unheard of fashion. And the agenda is one of people who can't afford to eat, whose standard of living is declining, and who have no civil liberties and no control over their government.
Yeah. We're talking with David Swanson. The website is davidswanson.org. Your thoughts at 977-1070 is certainly welcome here. It really is an absolutely fascinating turn of events. And of course, here in America, where news is always spun in one direction or another, we've seen some like Fox News saying, well, this must be Al Jazeera, but this must be Al Qaeda or the Muslim Brotherhood, and I'm not seeing any evidence for that.
No, the Muslim Brotherhood were dragging their feet. They are getting in stages as they see the writing on the wall that this is going to get somewhere. This has been driven by young secular activists, young people who want to take over the government, who want a government that responds to the people, and that's all they want. They want a better government. They don't have a religious agenda. They don't have a particular ideological agenda, and they don't have a leader. They're not backing El-Baradei, who's not particularly popular among young people in Egypt. He's seen as something of an outsider who's been out of the country quite a lot.
So this is not an Islamic fundamentalist revolution. This is not Iran in the 70s, so what we're seeing in Egypt.
No, it's not, although there were other factors involved in that in the 70s, including resistance to U.S. influence. But no, it just isn't. This is about people who have no say in their government, who've been demanding reforms, who've been taking risks to bring grievances to their government for quite some time and getting absolutely no response.
From a dictator that's been backed by the U.S. government, we should point out.
Backed and armed, right? These tear gas canisters that are being launched by the thousands and thousands at these protesters say made in the USA on them. Every single one made in the USA. It gives new meaning to that old phrase, if you leave the labels on, then it's imperialism, which it used to say about dropping food in Germany and so forth. We supplied their military with their weapons. We've over the past few decades, we've given them, I think, $37 billion, $1.5 billion in the past year. The top officials in the Egyptian military, as we speak, are meeting with U.S. officials in the Pentagon in a regularly scheduled meeting.
Wait a minute. The head of the military of Egypt is right now in the Pentagon.
Is in Arlington, Virginia. Yes.
Oh
yes. They are in a regularly scheduled meeting with their suppliers of arms and training and airplanes and so forth. Yes. And yet, as the police are pulling out of the cities and the military is being put into the cities, the protesters that I've spoken to take that as a very positive development, because much of the military in Egypt are ordinary people, ordinary recruits, likely to sympathize with the people, which is not to say there hasn't been police sympathy with the people already.
But the military is more likely to be less violent, less heavy-handed than the police.
Yes, that is the expectation.
And certainly
hope.
More professional in dealing with crowds in the streets.
And has the potential to absolutely turn sides. The wealthy Egyptians are jumping on private planes now as all other flights have been canceled in and out of Egypt. And if the president departs as his fellow in Tunisia did, and if that appears at all possible, there's a decent chance of the military entirely, up to the highest levels, including those in the Pentagon now, switching sides and turning against this guy.
Hence the real caution on the part of the Obama administration to sort of sit quiet and be quiet and wait to see what happens.
Yes.
President Hosni Mubarak of Egypt has finally, as we speak, has just taken to the television cameras and is speaking to the people in Egypt. David Swanson is live in studio. The website is davidswanson.org. And David, during the break, we were listening a little bit to Hosni Mubarak, who is speaking right now to the people of the world, I guess, and also addressing his people in Egypt. What are your thoughts about some of the things he was saying just now?
Well, I strongly suspect that, as advertised, this is a pre-recorded statement. He's not about to take questions from interested reporters. This is a Bin Laden or a Sarah Palin sort of release of a statement. He's not going to address the concerns of the people in the street. And the little bit that we listened to during the break, he's talking about how you should protest within the law and you should obey the law and so forth. This is a guy who regularly murders, assassinates, tortures. We, the United States, under Bush and Cheney, regularly sent prisoners to Egypt to be tortured by him. This is not someone who has any standing to talk about the rule of law. I think it's the right thing to say, but it makes no sense coming from him.
Why has the United States become a country that stands on the side of people like this? What the hell happened? What happened to this country that we would stand with people like this around the world?
We became capable of doing it. Right. I mean, ever since World War II, we've been a global power. We've been an empire and we've chosen our dictators. And if they were our dictator, then they were OK with us, you know, and we've lost our moral standing gradually over the past 60 years through following this course. It's something we have to end. Right. We have to get out of policing the rest of the world, because we're not policing the world in the name of human rights, but in the name of U.S. power. And our own government is very reluctant to turn against this guy who has managed to turn off and build opposition out of the entire population of his country. Everybody in Egypt is against this guy. Rich people, poor people, the middle class, the religious, the secular, men, women, workers, everybody is against this guy. And our government, which has funded him and supplied him with weapons and conspired with him to commit crimes for years and years, is still reluctant to take a side against him.
David, tell us about the audio that we're about to hear. We'll play a segment of this, and then we'll tell folks how they can hear the complete conversation. This is from just a few hours ago. You were talking with a friend of yours in Cairo, right?
Yeah, a guy named Tighe Berry, who's an American and is a peace activist and is an advocate of nonviolence, and who was in Egypt lining up a trip for people to go to Gaza to bring aid to the people in Gaza, and did not know this was going to happen in Egypt, but has been there for the past few days and talks about...
What a time to get caught in Cairo.
Yes. Well, he's loving it. He enjoys taking part in protests, so yeah. It's great for him.
Well, let's hear this conversation that took place just within the last few hours, David talking to this young man in Cairo.
Yeah, David, it looks like they've taken all of Tahrir Square. I went down as far as the Parliament building, so they've got the police backed up past Parliament, so they've taken the front of Parliament. All of Tahrir Square is controlled by the people.
Yeah.
They're still shooting. The police have an unlimited amount of U.S.-made tear gas because they just keep shooting it. They've been hitting the Parliament building. I don't know. They're wildly shooting it now. It's funny. I picked up one of the canisters today, and I looked very closely at it, and it said, Made in USA. It's our contribution to the people of Egypt, apparently. I'm sad to say.
And what have the tactics of the protesters been? I mean, would you describe it as nonviolent, or how have they taken over squares? And
well, since the police are pretty violent themselves, and I asked people, you know, can you do this nonviolently? And they're going, well, in the United States, you may be able to do it nonviolently. Here, we have to, they throw stones, they rush the police, they don't break things. There's no, like, hooliganism going on there. It's funny, I was saying to them, you know, there's a Hardee's and a McDonald's and a Kentucky Fried Chicken in Tahrir Square, and none of them were ruined or destroyed. And I was at the coup d'etat in Honduras, and they attacked the symbols of American imperialism. But here, they're not angry at the Americans or anyone else. They just want a change in their government, and everyone expressed the same thing. All they want is an opportunity for change. They want jobs. They want the situations are somewhat similar in the United States. They've got a upper class that's getting extremely wealthy, and a middle class that's very thin, and a huge lower class, and the rich are just keep getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. And it became very apparent when I was I had to run and get hide, and I hid in a friend's house, apartment flat, very high above the Ramses, which is one of the largest streets in Egypt, or in Cairo.
Hiding from what?
Well, I kind of was, I was in the big march, and the police grabbed me and took my camera and beat me and shoved me into a, like a cage thing, and I kept saying press, I held up my American passport, it meant nothing, and about an hour later, they threw me out, and they said, run. So I ran to the first place I knew.
So you've been grabbed by the Marines at Quantico and by the Egyptian police within about a week, huh?
Yeah. It seems to be a pattern, huh?
So, but let me ask about the throwing stones as the ignorant American nonviolent activist who doesn't get it. I've seen YouTubes, you know, for what they're worth, of crowds of people marching and simply pushing the police back. And then I've seen others where people are, you know, throwing stones apparently to no purpose whatsoever at armored cars and so forth. Does the throwing the stones help, or does it just make the videos look bad?
I just got to say, on Tuesday when I was in the march, the police were way different than they are today. We broke the lines. I was in a place called Shobra. It's about 8 miles from the center of downtown, and we marched all the way from Shobra right into Tahrir Square. It wasn't easy. There was lots of tear gas and lots of pushing, but the police lines were broken peacefully. There was no rock throwing. The rock throwing started on Wednesday because the police were now holding a line, and they were not being gentle about it. They came out now with large 5-foot batons and were striking people, and I think that was their reaction. I have not seen. I've seen some things set afire, like garbage dumpsters, and there was a fiberglass tourist police kiosk that was set afire. There have been many fires today. The tactics today were much more violent, and I think they had a purpose? Well, it did make the police move backwards. They did force the police back, and I don't think by just peacefully marching they would have had that go on. The police were very, very violent from the minute we started, and I started, like I said, in Shobra, and exactly 1 o'clock, the mosque where I was standing outside of, I didn't even know that I was going to be in a march at that point. When the prayers ended, those people came out right into the street. It was like instantaneous.
That's Tighe Berry, a peace activist, American peace activist, who stumbled upon a revolution, the largest democratic revolution in Egyptian history going on as we speak. This complete conversation with Tighe Berry is available at davidswanson.org. Hosni Mubarak has just spoken to the people of his nation, calling for calm communication. David Swanson is live in studio, davidswanson.org. And David, he said that he will. He has asked his government, parliament, the cabinet to resign, and he will appoint a new government tomorrow. Is that going to be enough?
I don't think so, as even Chris Matthews noticed in that bit we were watching. He is the government. I mean, when you have one-man rule and you have the formalities of government underneath, it doesn't matter that he switches out those rather powerless people underneath him. The people in the streets want him gone. That's what they're chanting. That's what they're shouting. They want Mubarak to leave.
Yeah.
They don't want the pretense of reforms from him now.
We were talking just a few minutes ago about the long history, the dictatorship of the Mubarak, American-backed Mubarak regime in Egypt. And just to take a moment here to underscore that, most Americans, they think of Egypt and it's a good place, safe place to travel to, and it's the pyramids and it's the Nile. What is Egypt to you?
Well, Egypt is the biggest, most populous Arab nation, and it is a nation that is the second biggest recipient of U.S. weaponry. We spend billions every year providing Egypt with weapons, and it is a society with ever diminishing pretense of any sort of democratic representation or civil liberties. I mean, it is the place that is known around the world where you send somebody to give them the worst torture yet devised by human beings. You want to really torture someone, and then you want them dead and gone and never heard from again. You send them to Egypt. I mean, that's the reputation Egypt has developed.
Yeah. If this revolution is successful, and we're not going to see this, this is going to play out for quite some time, I would imagine. This won't resolve in the next few hours or possibly even days, but it will be, of course, be fascinating to watch. And my great hope, of course, is that democracy finally comes to, a real democracy finally comes to Egypt. But even more than that, I'm just hoping that the military that is now taking to the streets exercises some restraint and some caution. Otherwise, we'll see, another Tiananmen Square, and they'll just start mowing people down, which is a very real possibility.
It certainly is. This could go any way, but it could be, in some sense, resolved quite quickly. The president could leave. If the president does not leave, it's likely to be resolved in any way anytime soon. But if he does leave, then what happens? And do we get a democracy in Egypt? That is, do the Egyptians get a democracy in Egypt? And what comes of that in terms of the Middle East? Does the Middle East start to develop democracies? And do we then have peace negotiations that include Israel and Palestine and perhaps two states there and perhaps a nuclear-free zone in the Middle East? The United States would have to, in a major way, get out of the way for that.
Yeah, which they're not going to do. When you start having real democracies and you don't have a nation under the thumb of a dictator backed by the West, and the people start really expressing themselves, sometimes they have something to say that Americans don't like. And one of the advantages we've had with Mubarak is a pro-Israel Egypt. Do you think we're likely still to see a pro-Israel Egypt if we have a true democracy in that country?
Well, it depends what pro-Israel means, right?
Yeah,
and
fair
it
enough.
Depends
yeah.
what alternatives we're imagining, right? Because we're not going to see is an Egypt with representation of the Egyptian people seeking to destroy Israel, because that the Egyptian people have no interest in destroying Israel. Just as the Egyptian Muslims have in recent weeks protected Egyptian Christians with their bodies, in a show of solidarity. We're not talking about the evil barbarians who don't speak English and have to be treated to Gitmo that are depicted in our U.S. television. We're talking about very civilized and intelligent people, and in fact, people with much more democratic spirit than our own people, who have yet to take over Washington, D.C. in any sort of similar fashion. But pro-Israel, when Israel attacks Lebanon, when Israel attacks Gaza, when Israel tortures and starves the people of Gaza, not necessarily. There may be some diplomatic pushback.
We're talking with David Swanson. The website is davidswanson.org. Before we let you go, I'm just curious, how do you think this will unfold? I mean, what are your thoughts? A lot of people in this country are very concerned. Their greatest fear is that we'll see some type of religious government come up in Egypt. But as you're pointing out, I think that Egypt is a lot more Western than we give them credit for.
Unlike our friends who are sweating bullets now in the religious government in Saudi Arabia or Kuwait or any of these corrupt Middle Eastern governments that are our friends but are not the friends of their own people, I think this can't be anything but a good development, whether it's two steps forward and a step back or 10 steps ahead remains to be seen. But this is positive and encouraging, as is this trend launched by WikiLeaks and now being taken up around the world by organizations of exposing the secrets of our governments. This is what Thomas Jefferson wanted, was for the public to know what its government was doing. This is a very, very positive trend.
David Swanson, online at davidswanson.org. David, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Coy.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.